Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on April 27th, 2019, and is current through the end of Star Trek Discovery Season 2, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. Catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a 30-minute news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 5 television shows at some point in production. Notice that is one more than there was last week, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is Patrick Escudero. Patrick, welcome to Weekly Trek.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Very, very pleased. Patrick is one of our very loyal Patreon supporters for the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you would also like to become a Patreon of Tricorder, you can find that at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And our new rewards tiers offers you the opportunity to guest alongside me on Weekly Trek. So Patrick, thrilled to have you. And thank you so much for your support for our network.
My pleasure. I love all of your content.
Thank you very much. Well, Patrick, you know the drill. I want to know what's got you excited about Star Trek at the moment. Tell me what's got you moving at Warp 10.
Now, it is going to be one of our news stories, but I can't hold it in. I've been very excited this week to know that Sir Patrick Stewart is somewhere out there in California, reprising his role as Jean-Luc Picard with the start of, you know, just recording that season.
It's happening. Yeah, I was at AwesomeCon today where they had a number of the Next Generation cast members there, and most of them were very tight-lipped or saying they didn't know anything about it. So still no real indication about who else alongside Patrick Stewart other than the newly announced cast members who will be appearing with him. But isn't it exciting? We are now only probably a few months away from having Jean-Luc Picard back on our television screen.
Not something that I ever thought would happen, to be honest. So I'm beyond excited.
Absolutely. Well, my pick this week is I am a backer of the DS9 documentary on Indiegogo, and I had the opportunity to watch it thanks to the DS9 documentary team sending out a screener link to everybody who backed the doc on Indiegogo prior to the cinematic release in a couple of weeks. I had some friends over, all of whom were backers of the documentary, and we had a fabulous time watching it. Patrick, have you seen it?
No, I wasn't one of the backers, though I am considering going to, I believe, the mid-May showing in theaters. I haven't purchased tickets, but I'm hoping they're not sold out.
Okay.
I did hear there were some technical difficulties with the stream. Did you have any problems checking it out right when it was released?
There was technical difficulties with the stream on the first night it was released, which was Thursday. We actually held off a day and watched it on Friday, so it was perfectly fine for us. But yeah, it sounded like the demand from the backers was so high to watch the stream on Thursday night that it actually crashed the servers for the screener service that they had used to do it. So no spoilers other than to say that the DS9 documentary is fabulous. You absolutely should go and see it in the cinema. I saw someone say online, how can you spoil a documentary? And this documentary can be spoiled around what footage do you see in high definition, around there are these little interludes throughout the documentary in which they have the writers come together to kind of break out story for a season premiere for a hypothetical Star Trek Deep Space Nine season 8. And you don't want that to be spoiled. So Ira Stephen Bear was correct for those who did have seen the documentary not to spoil it for others. And so I will do the same other than to say you really should go see it. And I said this on the program last week. If the studios are watching this with an eye towards potentially greenlighting some kind of Deep Space Nine and high definition project, and this is our way to do it, then we have to provide it all the support that we can. And it's a fabulous product. So that's 2 for 2.
Yeah. And I really think that, the demand and just what I've heard over the last year plus from fans and just online and offline, it seems like, the demand is probably there. I would definitely be in line to buy a remastered Blu-ray high definition DS9 box set.
Me too, in a New York minute. All right. Well, with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
So our top story this week is we have another television show that has been announced for Star Trek. It is one that has been rumored for a while and now has been formally announced. Writers Kevin and Dan Hagerman are heading a CG animated Star Trek show that will broadcast on Nickelodeon. So this will be our first of the new crop of Star Trek shows that will broadcast on a venue other than CBS All Access, and is definitely pitched more at children and at teenagers. We don't know what the name of the show is yet, so I think I'm probably just going to call it Star Trek Nickelodeon until we finally find out what the name is. Here's hoping we get a name a little quicker than we have for the Picard show, but we'll set that aside for now. The show follows a group of lawless teens who discover a derelict Starfleet ship and use it to search for adventure, meaning, and salvation. Other than that, not a huge amount of information. We know that animated TV shows have a particularly long production timeline, so we may not see this show for a while, but I am super excited about this. Patrick, how are you feeling about a Star Trek show on Nickelodeon aimed at a younger audience?
This is a pretty special one for me because I have a young nephew who, if you follow me online, you probably know I've turned into a bit of a Star Trek fan over the last year.
Yes, you're doing the Lord's work, Patrick.
I'm trying. Much to my sister, his mom's chagrin sometimes. But this is big because for me, to be able to introduce him to something that he can watch. You know, we watched a lot of Star Trek, the original series, Next Generation. They're very PG for the most part. But something like Star Trek Discovery, you know, where I'd love to show him season two, maybe not season one, it's still a little bit out of his reach. You know, he's just turning 10 next week. So to have, you know, an official Nickelodeon show that's showing, you know, something different than the standard, you know, you're on the Enterprise or something like that. You know, I love the premise that I'm hearing, even though we only have a few details. I'm very excited to share this with them, you know, probably in 2020, I'm guessing, just based on, you know, what you just said about the time it takes to make an animated show and, you know, kind of what Kurtzman has also said previously for both Lower Decks and for this unannounced one, that it just takes some time to get going.
I am thrilled by this news. I think that it doesn't take a genius to attend a Star Trek Las Vegas convention and notice that there aren't a huge number of kids who attend every year, right? I mean, let's just state that as a fact. The Star Trek viewing audience is aging. And I think the studio recognizes that, and that's why they have prioritized this project. Because, and I said this before, but I want to be watching new Star Trek for the rest of my life. And the only way to do that is for the youth of today to see in the franchise the same things that I did when I was 7 years old and watched my first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. I've seen a few people say, oh, well, you know, there's been no kind of Star Trek for kids TV show up until now, but plenty of kids got into the franchise. So why do we need this particularly? And to that, I would just say, oh, bog off. You know, it's great that we are developing shows and products that are pitched at different kinds of audiences. Not every piece of Star Trek has to be for us. There are five shows either on the air right now or coming up very soon. There is plenty for everyone to enjoy. And if a Nickelodeon Star Trek show serves as a child's gateway into then exploring The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and the original series, and when they're old enough, Discovery and some of the more mature Star Trek content that we have coming down the pike right now, that is to all of our benefit. I also like the concept. I think it's cute. You know, I think they are probably basing some of their ideas off of the success that Star Wars has had with Rebels, but those have been pretty popular. Also the Clone Wars, and continuing to engage young audience in that franchise. And so I think it's high time that Star Trek does the same.
I totally agree. And I've seen the same comments online about, well, you know, there was no true Star Trek kids show previously. But at the same time, you know, unless you're already a Star Trek fan, I don't see a lot of younger kids getting introduced. You know, they're getting introduced by people like me, you know, the older uncle or the older parent. Whereas Star Wars, having directly, you know, gone on to Nickelodeon and all these kids' channels already, you know, people that maybe had no idea what Star Wars was because they're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old are seeing that. And that's how they're getting involved. And then that's how they're going back and, you know, seeing what came before it. So I love the idea that we're just going to be able to get something that maybe somebody that never knew Star Trek, their parents didn't know anything about Star Trek, just happens on this Nickelodeon show sometime. They're, you know, 10 years old and they become enthralled with it. And that's what starts their fandom. And like you said, that's how it keeps going. You know, that's how we get another 50 years out of this franchise.
That is an absolutely fabulous point. when we were young and we got into this franchise, it was as a result of there being wall-to-wall Star Trek on television all the time.
True.
Either it was reruns of the original series, it was syndicated Next Generation or Deep Space Nine or Voyager. And there just isn't that anymore. And you're totally right that most kids who get introduced to the franchise today, they're not doing it because they've stumbled across the show and they've decided to watch it. They're doing it because an older relative or person in their life has introduced it to them. Whereas now, this is going to be in Nickelodeon's lineup, you know, hopefully their primetime lineup. And as a result, there are kids who are going to stumble across this and enjoy the product without having to have a parent or a relative sit them down and say, hey, let's watch this because I think you'll enjoy it.
Exactly.
So we are super excited to learn more about Star Trek Nickelodeon show, but that's all we have for this week on that. So let's move on to the other big news of the week, which is that filming has started on the still as yet untitled Picard show. So this is all thanks to Michael Chabon, who is one of the co-executive producers of the Picard show. He put a picture on Instagram indicating that it was the first day of shooting. It was a picture of his kind of on-set chair with his name across the back. Very few other details. You could see a few people milling around in the background, a wooden wall that presumably is the back of a set. If you go to Michael Chabon's Instagram, you actually won't find that picture anymore. It didn't stay up more than a few hours, but it does give us confirmation that filming has started on the Picard show. And as a result, there was a lot of press reports around the filming that CBS did not knock down. So my guess would be, why did Michael Chabon take down the Instagram post? Is probably because CBS has some kind of more formal announcement planned at some point, and he kind of stepped on that a little bit. Recall, for Star Trek Discovery Season 2, we got kind of a very short trailer showing us some of the concept art from Discovery Season 2, you know, some shots of behind the scenes, kind of people milling around and building sets. And so potentially something like that is coming, but it does look like filming has started just north of Los Angeles and that this show is happening and it's coming. And I could not be more excited. Patrick, what do you want to see out of a Picard show?
I honestly don't know. I mean, they keep touting that it's going to be a completely different Picard or a Picard that, you know, a lot of time has passed and a lot of things have happened. I'm just excited to see Jean-Luc Picard back on my television. That's my captain. That's who I grew up with when I was young. You know, even to this day, I continue to be enthralled anytime I watch, you know, one of the TNG episodes. And in terms of what I want to see, it's probably going to be a product of what we see on TV today, maybe a little bit darker. And I know people probably don't want to hear that, but I'm sure it's still going to be that soul of Jean-Luc Picard, because Patrick Stewart, not only being involved as the actor, but being involved on from a producer standpoint, you know, he knows that character better than all of us, and he's going to treat it the way that he believes it should be treated. And I think that's going to fall right in line with what, you know, we want to see as fans.
Yeah, he wouldn't be coming back just to keep doing the same thing that he's done before with this character. I mean, that's always been something that's been very clear about Patrick Stewart, was he's not the kind of person who will just continue doing something because it pays him very well. He's looking for acting challenges. He's looking for new material. And so, yeah, I mean, I think folks who are expecting 10 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation are probably going to be in for a shock. But as you say, that doesn't mean that the core heart of the character doesn't still exist in whatever the storyline that they're planning to tell us is.
Yeah, and that's why, as I said in the opening, you know, for what I'm feeling good about Star Trek, I didn't expect this at all, because I really just felt like he was completely done, you know, with the character, as he said, you know, essentially previously. So there must have been something really exciting that caught his interest as an actor. And, you know, I know he mentioned at one point, I think either in an interview or in a post, that he was excited that he also had kind of that, he was a producer and he was able to have his input in that part as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think we're going to see Jean-Luc Picard slightly different, but still, you know, the same soul, the same underneath, you know, what we had in TNG.
Well, CBS has its upfronts presentation scheduled for May the 15th. And if you are a betting person, I would anticipate that now with Discovery Season 2 out of the way, with production on Picard getting underway, that at the CBS Upfronts presentation, we will learn a bit more about the show. Certainly by San Diego Comic-Con, but I think it's time for CBS to start pulling back the veil on what the show is going to be and start hyping it up. And it seems like they kept that under wraps, partially because they want folks to be surprised, but also because they didn't want to step on the press that Discovery was getting, knowing that Sir Patrick Stewart is such a big draw, is such a well-beloved icon for this franchise. But now that season two is over and the next thing on the agenda is going to be the untitled Picard show, I'm very, very hopeful that May the 15th we'll get some more information and we'll be watching along closely so that we can report it all in that week's Weekly Trek. And if we don't have it, I will be very mad and I'm sure I will rant about it.
And I'm hoping at that time we can stop calling it the untitled Picard show and actually put a name to it.
Hear, hear. If I never have to say untitled Picard show again, it will be too soon.
Agreed.
All right. So shifting around from Star Trek Nickelodeon to Picard and now to Discovery. Obviously, with Discovery over for the season, we probably won't have stories about what's going to happen with season three for a while, but there is plenty of wrap-ups from season two still to go through. And there was news this week that there is a new comic miniseries on the way that follows the 23rd century portion of the aftermath from the Star Trek Discovery season finale, Such Sweet Sorrow. Star Trek Discovery Aftermath, which will be penned by Kirsten Beyer, one of the Star Trek Discovery writers, Mike Johnson, who has partnered with Kirsten on the two previous Discovery comic book series, one related to T'Kuvma and the Klingons, and a second related to what happened in the Mirror Universe after the Discovery returned to the Prime timeline after season one. And artist Tony Chastain, who has also done the art. He did the art on the Klingon miniseries and also was the longtime artist on the Kelvin timeline Star Trek comic series and is my favorite Star Trek comic artist working at the moment. We'll follow up from the events of Such Sweet Sorrow to see what's going on with the Enterprise. It will heavily feature Spock, it will feature Laurel, and will help, I think, kind of tie off some of those additional little points that were left over after the season finale. So I'm super excited for this. I've really liked, I'll start by stipulating I like all of the IDW Star Trek products. I'm excited this week. Year 5, issue 1 is out. It's sitting on my iPad. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it. And this, again, is something that I think will be a really nice addition to helping to continue to flesh out the story of the explosive finale for Star Trek Discovery Season 2. Patrick, are you a comics fan? Do you think you'll be picking this one up?
Definitely, we'll be picking it up. I only, kind of in the last couple of years, really started becoming a bigger comic fan, especially of Trek comics. IDW has done some great work. Now, I am kind of an unabashed Mike Johnson fan. You know, I've interacted with him online and I actually met him briefly at 2018 STLV, which kind of ties into the Nickelodeon story. Is he was with a CBS representative and I spoke to him for, you know, probably 5-10 minutes. And we were talking about what we wanted to see from, you know, series. And I actually said to him, I'd love to see a kids show, you know, knowing that the CBS rep was there, that, you know, animation and something that, you know, I could share with my young nephew. But yeah, as for the comics, yeah, I've read pretty much every one of his Kelvin timeline comics. And to me, they're my headcanon. They're in my headcanon for the Kelvin timeline completely. And I think anybody that reads them, especially people that kind of have problems with films like Into Darkness, it really fleshes out a lot of those films. And that's what I've really loved about his writing is he takes, you know, what that source material was, there wasn't a lot of it, and he really fleshed out that entire timeline. I've just been a big fan of everything he's written. So I'm looking forward to this, definitely. Again, you know, we're not going to see these characters potentially next season of Discovery Season 3 at all, maybe via a flashback or something. So to be able to see a little bit more of what happens after that Season 2 finale, I'm all for that. And to have some of our new favorite characters, like Ethan Peck Spock, you know, looks very well represented on this cover here. And just seeing what these versions of these characters are doing after that. I'll be picking that up every issue for how long it goes.
Trick, you've buried the lead. It sounds to me like you should be able to take some credit for providing CBS the inspiration for doing the Nickelodeon show.
That's what it's first thing I thought. I was like, wow, it's funny that I talked to Mike, and I honestly wish I remembered the gentleman's name from CBS, you know, almost a year ago, and just said, that's what I'd really love to see because I have this, you know, young nephew. But yeah, it's great. There's so much Star Trek going around, from comics to new shows to, you know, tons of merchandise out there these days. I feel like it's the 90s again.
It does feel like it's the 90s again, and I love it. And I also agree that Mike Johnson is a fabulous, 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 fabulous author of Star Trek comics, and so thrilled that he continues to ply his craft and his fandom into giving us just some fabulous Star Trek comics. So thank you for giving that shout out, because it absolutely was well, well deserved. And so lastly, for our news stories this week, sticking with Discovery, Star Trek Online has announced that Jason Isaacs will be reprising his role as Gabriel Lorca in Star Trek Online as a prequel to the events of Star Trek Discovery Season 1. According to the Trekcore article, which is where we're going off of, this will be an appearance by Prime Gabriel Lorca, the second appearance in tie-in media for Prime Lorca, the first being the Dayton Ward novel Drastic Measures that was published last year and dealt with Prime Lorca and Prime Georgiou dealing with the massacre on Tarsus 4. So we will get more Prime Lorca, according to the Trekcore article, as part of Star Trek Online, and Jason Isaacs will be returning to reprise his role, in addition to Rekha Sharma, who played Lieutenant Commander Landry in Star Trek Discovery Season 1, will also be reprising her role. So for Star Trek Online players, the missions will revolve around the USS Baran, which was Captain Lorca's ship before he was switched with his mirror counterpart. And I personally don't play Star Trek Online, but I am super thrilled that Jason Isaacs is continuing to have some affiliation with the franchise. And I think that there's a lot of great story left to explore for the Lorca character. You know, on screen, we've only seen the mirror Lorca after he's arrived on Discovery, and as he is kind of pursuing his agenda towards getting back to the mirror universe. But we haven't had much of a chance to spend with Prime Lorca to see what the difference is between the two characters. And also, we don't know a huge amount about the switch between Prime and Mirror Lorca, what that was like for both characters, and also, frankly, what's happened to Prime Lorca. Patrick, are you a Star Trek Online player, and how do you feel about Jason Isaacs reprising his role as Gabriel Lorca for the game?
I am a player. I've been playing it essentially since its beta back in, I think, 2010. I don't play it as much as I used to, but I've played it on all the platforms at this point, PC, PS4, Xbox, and really, Discovery, I think, has caused a kind of big, not big jump in players, but a lot more activity around Star Trek Online. I see it more in the news, in the kind of the mainstream news. And I love that Jason Isaacs is coming back to reprise this role. In doing my kind of research online for this, I didn't necessarily see anywhere besides the Trekcore article that called out that it was definitely Prime Lorca. Because my first thought when I saw the trailer was that maybe this was right after the switch, and we were going to get kind of the story of what happens between when Prime Lorca and Mira Lorca are switched, and how Mira Lorca comes to the point where he destroys the Baran. Because there was talk in the trailer about something going on with the Klingons, and, you know, from what we know from the season one episodes where we learn more about this, you know, he destroyed the Baran so that it wasn't going to be captured by the Klingons. So I don't know if it's going to be Prime Lorca from what I've read, but I'm kind of hoping it is, because I liked what I read in the novel, and I'd love to see more of that, especially being voiced by Jason Isaacs. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. A lot of the Discovery content in Star Trek Online has been really good. Mary Wiseman, you know, playing Captain Killy in the previous content that we recently received was fantastic. You know, she was fantastic in those couple episodes, and it's all been very well done so far. And not only does it seem like the Discovery actors are really into it, it's also the passion that the team there at Cryptic puts into creating Star Trek Online seems like it's at a, you know, higher point than ever. So it's just a lot of great content that's been coming out from them. And this is just to get somebody, you know, kind of Jason Isaacs is a pretty big name. To have him join this online game and voice Lorca is, I think, a big catch for them. And I think it's going to be really good once we get to see it.
Yeah, super exciting. And I agree with you. I actually think the potentially more interesting story is not that of Prime Lorca, but that of Mira Lorca after he finds himself in the Prime universe and has to learn to adapt and then figure out how to get home. So I guess we'll see. I will look forward to having you back, and we can talk about what your experience with the game was and whether it ended up being Prime or Mirror Lorca.
Look forward to it. I'm just excited to get some more Discovery content on Star Trek Online. They've been releasing it in bits and pieces, so it's been kind of nice. You get a couple episodes, you get to take them in. They've released some other content around it. You get new ships. And then, you know, a couple months later, you get another set of characters. You know, another, you know, we learn that Jason Isaacs is coming in here. So I'm excited for that to continue in the near future. Maybe way down the line, we'll get a Anson Mount appearance in STO. I can kind of hope for that.
Seems like the kind of thing he might be interested in doing.
I agree.
All right. We have talked about the facts, and now let's speculate on what's going to happen to the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, I and my guest are going to give you a theory or a wish we're nurturing about the future of the franchise. So Patrick, let's hear your theory for this week.
Mine's more of a wish, but I would also call it a theory because I think everybody's going to have this idea in their mind at some point.
I love wishes. Give it to me.
With the new Nickelodeon show, what I'm hoping, and this all depends on the point in the timeline that it's going to occur, I'd love to see some of our favorite characters come back as voices, you know, as kind of guest stars, as long as it fits in with the overall story that they're trying to tell. And I'm guessing with a animated show, we're going to get more episodic content as opposed to these long story arcs that we've gotten with Discovery. So I think that may open it up for something where does it take place during the TNG, DS9, Voyager timeline? You know, that part of it? Do we get to maybe see a Captain Picard show up on there? We know Patrick Stewart's done a lot of voiceover work with Seth MacFarlane on, you know, American Dad and some of his other shows. So I'm kind of, that's my wish. That's my theory. I'm hoping to maybe see some of our favorite Star Trek actors return in voice form and animated form with the next show. But obviously we got a little bit of time to speculate and find out.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that is also my wish for this week as well. I also want to get some familiar voices on these animated TV shows of actors reprising roles who, because they can be animated, they can appear as they did while they were on the shows. So Patrick, I guess my question for you is, one, where would you, so let's take the Nickelodeon show. One, where in the timeline would you set it? And two, which two actors would you have come back to voice their roles?
Ooh, so where I would set it, so we've got Discovery going well beyond the timeline that we know for the most part. And then we've got the previous seasons of Discovery were pre-TOS. We're still all hoping for that Pike show potentially. I'm thinking I want to see this in maybe a post-Voyager, you know, just a few years after Voyager ends. So we're not running into, you know, the Picard show, which is, you know, 20 some years later, because that opens it up for a lot of potential folks to return. I think my number one is probably Brent Spiner as Data. Now, I know Data obviously was, quote unquote, killed off in Nemesis, but we got a little bit of a hint at the end of that movie that maybe we'd be seeing him back eventually in the form of B4. So I'd love to see almost him show up out of the blue. Second actor, I would say Patrick Stewart. That's a pretty obvious one. Maybe Admiral Janeway.
Admiral Janeway.
I could see that, especially if we're talking about lawless teens that have discovered a derelict Starfleet ship. You know, maybe she appears in some form as a voice of reason or even a mentor potentially for them, you know, because she was always willing to take some risks. So I could see that fitting in there.
I think I'm with you. I think something around 24th century, not the same time as the Picard show, maybe something from right around when Voyager went off the air, and then have one familiar recurring guest character who will be the Starfleet captain who will be pursuing this ship of lawless teens, and maybe have that be, I don't know, Jonathan Frakes as captain of the USS Titan, and then have somebody who provides them with advice and plays that kind of mentor role. And yeah, I think I like your idea for Janeway for that one, which I think would be interesting, you know, because she's an admiral, but she's kind of letting them do it. But there's other people in Starfleet who want the ship back.
Exactly. And I love your idea for the Titan with Captain Riker. That would be very interesting.
That would be awesome. Do you have a theory or wish for Discovery or the future of the franchise that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got this week for Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Patrick Escudero, for joining me today. Patrick, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at PatrickE34, my very creative name. That's probably the best way to reach me online.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to trekcore.com. Well, thank you, Patrick. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.